You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome online if you're watching. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but working harder, trying more. I don't think you need to hear more about Galatians. Just go through that song. What can wash away your sin? Nothing you do. It's all about God, you know, and that's what the whole of Galatians is. And our battle is always not trying to try harder, trying to do more, you know, trying to put in place our own things. You know, have you ever been in a position when you just switch off when you're being told something for the upteenth time? I don't know whether when you were listening to Maduka there, how many times have you been through communion? Who switched off? No one's going to put their hand off, of course. That's a rhetorical question. Sorry, Maduka, I'm not saying that was bad. I'm just saying we switch off. You know, we can switch off. You know, who switches off when we listen to sermons or we're in the presence of God or we're worshipping? We can switch off. Did you know the odds of dying as a plane passenger are 1 in 205,000? I suppose if you're going to fly soon, you didn't want to hear that. But that makes it the safest mode of travel on the planet. It's the safest mode of travel on the planet. You know, it compares with 1 in 4,000 if you die on a cyclist, 1 in 1,000 for drowning, 1 in 100 for a car accident. So, but we still... you know, have to hear when you get on a plane, you still have to hear, you still for the upteenth time, you have to hear, you know, how to use a seatbelt. You know, one of the things I always get on a plane, like, how hard is it to use a seatbelt? You just click it in, you know, but they tell you every time you get on that you have to put your seatbelt on. Oxygen masks will drop down, exit doors are at the front and at the back, you know, life jackets are under the seat. You know, we just be told this for the upteenth time. And it's estimated over 60% of people don't listen when the stewardess is actually telling you about that. So now in chapter 5 of Galatians, the reason I'm saying that is because Paul is going to make a point again and he's going to try and drive it home. Because Paul starts off in Galatians 5, as Maduka would say, he says, you know, it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. But Paul is going to go back, Galatians 1:6, he set the tone. Remember last week I said, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. So we forget to live in the grace of Christ. So in Galatians 5:2, it's like Paul takes a time, he's just stopping for a moment. Again, it's the fifth chapter, and we're almost at the end of the chapter, and he can't help himself. He says, mark my words, I, Paul. Now, this isn't some softly gentle, like, guys, look, I need you, I just want you to listen to me. This is a mark my words, I tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you. He's at the front of the plane. He's going, listen to me. Put your phones down right now. Put your books down. Look this way. Look at me. You might have heard this for the upteenth time, but look at me. Listen to what I'm saying. Mark my words. If you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. He goes on to say in verse 4, you know, trying to be justified by the law means you are alienating yourself from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. You know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then in Galatians 5:12, at the end of it, like this little time out, he then completes this sort of little frame of just sort of trying to get stuck into the Christians at the time. He says, as for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You know, you can't tell me he's not got a tone here. You know, like he's got a tone. He says, mark my words, I, Paul, am telling you, I wish you would just go the whole way and cut it off. He's got a tone. He's just confronting us again. He's reminding us that works don't work. You know, you got to get, what we were doing this morning is getting a deeper truth of the gospel in your heart. The only way that you change is by changing the core of your being, the heart, which starts with knowing the gospel. And there's something of that this morning that I think Paul is going to try and encourage us as he goes through the book of Galatians. So now that he's got that out the way, his tone is out the way. I'm astonished that he's been doing it for the whole book. So he's got this bit of out the way. Now he's going to do a little bit of teaching, I believe. And so he carries on from verse 1. So if we can go to the next slide, you'll see that in Galatians 5:1, he started this by saying, "It's for freedom Christ has set you free. So stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." So that's where he starts in Galatians 5:1. After four chapters, this is his summary. For freedom that Christ has set you free. Then he went into his little rant for 12 verses again. If you throw away, do the things of the law, then you're throwing away grace. And I wish he would cut it off. And then he starts back at 5:13. And again, he's sort of back on track again as he was in 5:1. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. So he gets back to where he started in verse 1. So do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh, rather serve one another in love. And I think it's interesting here that I think in verse 6 earlier, Paul had already defined what freedom is. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And now he's starting to teach us a little bit about, well, how do you walk in grace? What does it mean to set aside the law and to walk in grace? And then in 5:14, after 13, you are free, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. And so he's starting to teach us how do we operate in grace? Love your neighbor as yourself. Grace operates through love. It starts with loving who you are because of what God has done for us, and then by loving others. So the moment that we stop expressing love, the moment we move into unlove, we begin to move into an area of the law. And we begin to work from a position of ourself. And we don't listen to what God is saying. God is saying, love yourself and others. This is the fulfillment of the law. Put everything into this. When you find yourself in a position of unlove, you are caught up in the law. That's how grace works. That's how grace works. God forgives us to love others and love ourselves and understand who we are in Christ. So that begins with two options as we go through Galatians. So if Paul's saying everything is summed up through the law, you have two options. We can either walk by the Spirit or we can walk by the sinful nature. And as we hit into Galatians 5:16, it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So all of a sudden, every one of us here this morning, you are in conflict. You are in conflict because you have the Spirit and you understand what it means to walk by the Spirit, but there is a conflict going on because you have this sinful nature. And so somehow we have to hold that tension and figure out, how am I going to deal with this sinful nature that I know I have, even though I live by the Spirit? And so there's this tension going on. And generally what happens is, the way we deal with the sinful nature is we go back to the law. We go back to unlove. We go back to the things that God has said but we don't put into practice. And begin to do the things our own way, which is basically the law. So we have this battle, this conflict that goes on. It actually says those who aren't saved, well, they won't inherit the kingdom because they don't know Christ. But for those who are in Christ, we have this conflict that goes on. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? There's this conflict that we have. And so somehow we have to wrestle with this conflict. And the evil one is putting, as I said last week, putting in forces that are stopping us from believing what God has said, so that we have to then put into place our own way of doing Christianity, our own way to appease ourselves, to make God feel like we love him or he loves us. And that's what it means to walk in the law. And so we have a list of flesh options, and they're called the acts of the flesh or the sinful nature. And maybe some of you will know some of these. And there are a few lists in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians, Colossians, Corinthians, Peter, 1 Peter. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Are they obvious this morning? They are, aren't they? They're obvious, the acts of the flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. Well, how do you deal with that? Oh, well, maybe not the orgy part, I don't know, but... But how do we deal with the sinful nature, this conflict that's in our heart? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So how do we put that into practice? By walking in love. Loving who you are in Christ. Loving others the way Christ loves them. No judgment. Not our own assessment. Not our own working to prove to God that we are fit to be in the kingdom of God, but believing the deeper truth of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel that we spoke about this morning, that God loves us and he died for us. That's why I think Paul could declare, above else in Galatians 2:20, and you would have heard me say this many times, but for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but the life I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me and loved me. I do not set aside grace, because if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. And that's what Paul is trying to get across to us this morning. So I just want to try and make that real for us this morning. I want to try and make that real for us this morning, because 24 years later, after the road to Damascus, Paul's on the road to Damascus, he's floored by Jesus on the road, he comes, becomes born again, and then about 14 years later, it tells you at the beginning of Galatians, after 14 years of studying and reading the word, he comes back again. He's written a few books in the Bible. He's written Galatians, he's written Thessalonians, he's written Corinthians, I think it is up to this time. What else has he done? He's on his way back to Jerusalem where he'll be arrested, and that's where he'll be going back to Rome. So it's 24 years on since he got saved, 10 years on after he's written this book, Galatians, after writing these words. And now if we go to the next slide, listen to Romans 7:18. This is a man 24 years on, 10 years after writing the book of Galatians, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. You want to underline that? Highlight it? I just love it. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Oh, hallelujah. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Oh, you've just got a few smiles here. I can't, Paul. 10 years out of writing Galatians, he now says, I cannot carry it out. I cannot do good. How do we deal with that? How do we deal with that? Now, Isaiah 64 sort of gives us some insights. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. You know, Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer in Luke, I love this bit. Jesus teaching the Lord's Prayer in Luke 13, we won't go there, but he says to the disciples after, you know, if you then, though you are evil, I don't know if you remember that bit. If you then, though you are evil, that's what he says. Oh, come on. It's like, do you like that? You then, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But I mean, Jesus addresses them as evil. It's like, so when you consider Paul, Isaiah, and Jesus, I believe it is fair to say, in our battle between the flesh and the spirit, the law and grace, and this is my first point, we are eviler than we think. We are more evil than we think. That's why we have communion. Jesus died for our sins, because we are more evil. There's something about our own works that make us feel good in front of God. You know, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And we can make an idol out of the way we do our worship, the way we do our ministry. And we feel like that can be a measuring stick for my goodness. But it's God who loves us, because we are more evil than we think. The story, you know, in Robbie Louis Stevenson's book, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Have you ever read Dr. Jekyll or seen the shows? You know, Dr. Jekyll believed he was a good man, but evil was holding him back. So in his laboratory, he made a potion to pull out the evil in him so his good side could push ahead. That was the sort of premise of what he did. And that night, the evil Mr. Hyde would manifest and come out. And the so-called good man side, Dr. Jekyll, he miscalculated how evil he really was. And so as the story goes, Dr. Hyde became a murderous criminal that could not be reined in. And Dr. Jekyll was outwardly showing goodness, but was shockingly evil inside. And so Dr. Jekyll became more and more burdened, realizing he would stay transformed as Mr. Hyde, and the evil was getting worse and worse. Eventually, he locks himself up in the laboratory, thinking this is the only way to survive. And in the end, Mr. Hyde poisons himself and dies. They were the same people. You know, God doesn't leave us wondering how to grab hold of freedom. It starts with acknowledging we are broken, evil, fallen short, men and women living on this planet. We are more evil than we think. But I don't want to leave it there. I don't want to leave it there because, you know, there's another side to this story. And so I want to go to Romans 8:1. This is straight after. No, straight after Romans 7:8, what wretched man will save me, oh, but for Jesus? Straight after, I cannot carry it out. And then Paul, in the same breath, says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. As Jamie Oliver says when he makes a recipe and tastes it, come on, seriously, come on, come on. I'm more evil than I think, but I'm more loved than I know. And this is the gospel. And this is what changes us. Not trying harder, working harder. There is a joy in knowing I am totally sinful, couldn't save myself from a wet paper bag, and at the same time knowing I'm loved and forgiven. That's where my joy rests. We are more loved than we know. We are more loved than we know. I was thinking even now as you're listening to me or maybe Milo and Chris the last few weeks or Sean next week, you might be thinking, oh, I'm going to try hard. I need to try harder. I need to get better. I'm going to pray more. I heard that word. I'm going to get involved more. I'm going to go to home group. I'm going to be a better wife. I'm going to be a better husband. You know, I'm going to try and be a better parent. You know, all these things. There's a difference between joyful obedience and moral obedience. Joyful obedience understands the gospel. Moral obedience wants to find out through the law. And I suppose my encouragement to you this morning as we consider this tension of I'm more evil than I think, but more loved than I know, is how do I get the gospel more rooted into my heart, deeper into my heart, because that's what changes us. That's what's changed. God said to David, he's a man who loves after my own heart. Because you understand what God has done for you this morning. Faith expressing itself in love. Come on. We have to get our faith, our freedom through faith in the gospel, not our own actions. Freedom to know who Christ is. I'm a child of God. I have a beautiful father. I'm no longer a slave. I'm an heir. And the thing about Mr. Hyde, you know what Mr. Hyde means? Hidden. Hidden. Hideous. Hidden. It's been open to God, not working from a place of hiddenness, but being open and knowing that he loves me. So I'm going to ask Jade and Mark to come back up. I'm going to sing this next song, and I pray that it will be a prayer this morning and something that will go deep into our hearts, that as we wrestle with the sinful nature, that conflict. You know, there is a conflict. Let's not deny it. There's a conflict. We want to be kind. We want to be loved. We know what we want to be. but you can't carry it out, hey? Therefore, we hold in tension the gospel, and nothing but the blood of Jesus can cleanse me, make me whole, and all those other things this morning.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.